So we come to the end of an old year, and we're introducing a new year. I want to read to you five ways you know you're getting old. How many of you are getting old? Raise your hand. Okay. Five ways you know that you're getting old. The list could be expanded. Number one, you help a little gray-haired lady across the street, and she's your wife. Number two, you turn out the lights for economic reasons rather than romantic reasons. Number three, you sit in a rocking chair and you can't get it started. Number four, your knees buckle and your belt won't. And number five, you sink your teeth into a steak and they stay there. I like that. I once heard J. Vernon McGee say, you know you're getting old when you see a pretty girl and your pacemaker opens the garage door. I haven't gotten there yet, but you know you're getting, I know I'm getting old. Well, one of the things that comes along with old age, as young age, is worry. And I think about worry and fear as we enter into the new year. But I want you to notice in verse 25, as we start out, what Jesus says. He says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought. Now I'm reading from the King James translation, so it's, do not worry. Take no thought for your life. Don't worry about your life, what you will eat, what you shall drink, or yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Now Jesus in this text tells us, do not worry. Worry. I want you to notice, we'll get there in a moment, verse 31. Therefore, do not worry. And then again in verse 34, therefore, do not worry. Don't worry about tomorrow. So three times Jesus in this text has told us not to worry and not to be afraid. So we are not to be afraid, we're not to worry. In 1961, Time magazine published a cover story in the presence of anxiety in America. The article talked about guilt and anxiety that was crippling the nation. It stated that in the breakdown of faith in God in the 19th century, in reason the 20th century, coupled with the accelerated pace and high tensions of our modern life, it has produced intense anxiety in many millions of people. So much so, in fact, that it would be correct to call worry one of the most widespread and debilitating ailments of our time. And no doubt today we are intensifying that. We're worried and we're fearful and we're anxious. And as we go into a new year, many of us are worried. Can I pay my bills? Am I going to lose my job? What about my health? Am I going to get sick? Is my marriage going to survive? What will happen to my children? What has happened in the United States? What's going to happen in this world? And we're anxious and we're fearful. All kinds of people worry. Rich people worry. Poor people worry. Educated people worry. Uneducated people worry. Young people worry. And old people definitely worry. It's a frightful thing. But as Christians, Jesus tells us we're not to worry and not to be afraid. Now, I want to break this text up into three categories. How is it that we can enter into this new year and not be afraid? How do we have faith and not fear? Well, the first category is verses 26 to 29. We rest in God's providence. We rest in God's providence. He tells us, verse 25, not to worry about your life. And three categories. Don't worry about what you're going to drink. Don't worry about what you're going to put on. Don't worry about what you're going to eat. And notice that at the end of verse 25, he gives us a question. Is not life more than food, and the body is more than what? Clothes. So if you're all bummed out, I didn't get what I wanted for Christmas, and you know, you didn't get the gifts you wanted. Life is more than clothes, okay? And the body is more than food. And man, have we eaten during Christmas, right? Everybody does their New Year's resolutions and stuff. And I haven't done one of those yet. But the other day, I was looking at all the treats we have. People giving us so much to eat. All the treats on the counter. And it was Friday. I'm not going to eat any sweets today. And you know how that goes, right? That which I don't want to do, I do, Paul says. And that afternoon I was alone in the house. I'm looking, hey, no one's around that heard me say that. And we had this carrot cake, and I cannot resist carrot cake. It was good. Praise God. But that what you don't want to do, you do. And that what you do want to do, you don't do. And you make all your resolutions and you're fearful. But as you go into this new year, first thing I want you to remember and to rest in is the providence of God. Let me show that to you, verse 26 to 29. Jesus speaking here in the Sermon on the Mount. He says, behold, the fowls of the air, they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns, yet your Father in heaven feeds them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these flowers. Now, there's three categories we need to rest in God's providence. We need to rest in God's providence by looking at the fowls of the air, verse 26, and by the future, verse 27, and then looking at flowers in verse 28 and 29. Notice in verse 26, look at the birds or the fowls of the air. Now, I'm not a bird watcher. I'm not into bird watching. But I do like seeing beautiful birds and watching their behavior from time to time. And I'll sit out in the backyard and I'll watch the birds pecking and scratching and eating their little seeds. But God tells us in His Word that when we're fearful and when we're afraid and when we're worried about the future, do some bird watching. You got that? Go out and look at the birds. God provides for the birds. Consider the fowls of the air. Now, this is an argument from what we call the lesser to the greater. If your Father in heaven, not their Father, but your Father, He's their Creator, feeds them, are you not much better than they? The answer is yes, yes, yes. Amen? You are of more value than many sparrows. God feeds the birds. God will take care of you. Now, birds don't just sit in the trees and the worms jump in their mouth. They do have to go scratching and hunting and looking or hang out at In-N-Out and pick up all those French fries is what they do. You ever notice how all the fat birds are hanging out at the fast food restaurants? Bums me out. I pay for the French fries. They get them for free. You know, you drop them, boom, they scoop them up. Check it out when you go to In-N-Out. Big fat birds hang out around there. God provides for them. And if God is providing for them, God will provide for you, right? So don't be discouraged. Look at the birds. God takes care of them. God provides for them. Someone put it in a little poem, said the robin to the sparrow, I should really like to know why these anxious human beings rush about and worry so. Said the sparrow to the robin, I think that it must be that they have no heavenly Father such as cares for you and me. Now, in reality, He's not their heavenly Father, Jesus said. He's your heavenly Father. You are a child of God. Jesus is giving the Sermon on the Mount here, and He's speaking to His disciples. So everything He says is for believers. You are God's child. You have a Father in heaven who cares for you. And if He providentially takes care of birds and flowers and the future, you can rest in Him. Now, what do we mean by providential care? What we mean by that is God is engaged or God is involved in life. God looks over, God watches over, God takes care, God is engaged. The other week when it was raining real hard, I was with a friend riding shotgun. He was driving. And we were driving in that real heavy rain going south down the 15 to San Diego. And you know, when you're a passenger, you don't tell the guy driving how to drive, but he was going a little too fast. He was going almost 80 and just pouring rain. And I'm sure we were hydroplaning, so we're just jamming. And the traffic stopped in front of us, and he hit the brakes, and we slid sideways. And we were going down the freeway, 80 miles an hour, looking out the side windows. And it just, like, happened so fast, I didn't even have time to pray. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, you know. It's just like I could see the cars approaching. We're sliding. And just in time, the car gripped and we were able to get around. It's like, and then after it was over, then we started, oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. We were praying, you know. But God watches over us. How many times God protects us and God takes care of us? We need to trust in him. He takes care of the birds. He will take care of us. How about the future? Verse 27. Which of you by taking anxious thought or worry or fear or concern can add one cubit to your stature? Now that is generally interpreted as meaning that if you're little and you worry, you're not going to grow or get bigger, which is true. But I think the word there has more the idea of your future or length of life. Which of you by worrying can lengthen your life? The truth is you're going to shorten your life, right? You're not going to lengthen your life. You're going to shorten your life. So don't be worried about, well, I think I might get sick or I might die or what if I have cancer? It's not going to help you any. What he's saying here is that worry is futile. It's senseless. It doesn't do any good. It doesn't help. Which of you by worry can add one cubit unto your stature? And then he speaks of the flowers. He goes from the fowls to the future to the flowers. I love this, verse 28. He says, why take ye thought for raiment? Why are you worried about your clothes? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not clothed like one of these flowers. So we go from watching the birds to looking at the flowers. Next time you're discouraged, go out and pick a flower. Your neighbors will think you're crazy, but that's okay. And you just look at it for a minute. You ever looked at a little flower? I like the little tiny flowers that are even in the weeds. They're just beautiful. You pick a little flower and it's all perfect and the colors are perfect. And then God clothes the flowers. Now, in that culture at that time, they would heat their ovens with the grass, the wild grass and the weeds, and they would throw them in their oven and they would burn them. That was fuel. So today they are, tomorrow they're cast into the oven. Now, will not he clothe you, O ye of what? Little faith. Faith and fear are mutually exclusive. If you're trusting God, you're not afraid, right? If you're afraid, it's a sign you are not trusting in God. So as you head into this new year, 2015, you don't need to be afraid. God takes care of birds. He'll take care of you. God will take care of your future. It's in his hands. We don't know what the future holds, but we know who holds the future. And we also look at the flowers. If God clothes the flowers, God will clothe us. He will take care of us. Worry is senseless. So what do? We rest in the providence of God. I am absolutely convinced, and I remind myself of this quite often, that God is in control and that nothing can happen to you but what God allows. As I look back on my own life, I know that God has not allowed anything in my life but what he's been with me. He's been in control. He uses it for my good and for his glory. We need to trust him. There's a second thing as we go into the new year, we need to remember, we need to believe God's promises. We need to believe God's promises. Verse 30 to 32. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow, here it is, cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Wherewith shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you have need of these things. So we need to trust in God. Many times the worries of the future are like puddles. They evaporate when we get there. And we need to trust God for the day because God will take care of tomorrow. But God has promised, and here's his promise. He's talking to believers there in verse 30 and 31. He says, shall he not take care of you, O you of little faith. The Bible says that we can cast all our cares upon God because he what? Cares for us. I love that verse. We talk about the love of God, and New Year's Eve I preached on the love of God. But think about that. God cares for you. And because he cares for you, you don't have to be afraid and you don't have to worry. I heard about a guy that borrowed $1,000 from his neighbor. And the time came when he was supposed to pay it back the next day. And so it's about 3 a.m. in the morning, and he's pacing in the bedroom, walking back and forth. He woke his wife up. She says, "What's the matter? Why can't you sleep?" He said, I didn't tell you. Sorry, I didn't let you know. But I borrowed $1,000 from Sam next door, and I have to pay him back tomorrow, and I just can't sleep, so I'm worried about it. She got out of bed. She opened the window, and she yelled at the neighbor, "Sam! Sam!" And he woke up and he lifted up his window. She says, "You know that $1,000 my husband owes you? He hasn't got it." She shut the window and she looked at her husband. She said, "Now you go to bed. Let him get up and worry about it." Casting all your cares upon him. He cares for you. Amen. We don't have to worry. We have his providence. We have his promises. One of his promises is that I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will take care of you. What a blessing that is. We can rest in his promises. But there's a third and last thing we need to remember when we face this new year, and that is we need to adopt God's priorities. We need to adopt God's priorities. So we rest in his providential care. Nothing can come into my life but what God allows. We can trust him with our lives and our marriages and our families and our jobs and our health. And that God has given me promises that I can rest on. He'll never leave me. He'll never forsake me. But I also need to live my life this coming year with God's priorities. What are they? Verse 33. He says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God." So seek first the kingdom of God. Don't seek about what you're going to drink, what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear, but make your life, the priority of your life, the passion of your life, seeking God's kingdom and his righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought. Here it is again. Don't worry. Don't be fearful for tomorrow. For tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. We're not seek only material things or objects. This is what the heathen do, the ungodly do. For after all these things, verse 32, do the Gentiles seek after. In other words, worry is not only futile, worry is pagan. Worry is pagan. That's what the unbelievers do. The Gentiles refers to the non-Christian. And if you're a child of God, you don't need to worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, what you're going to wear, and what the things of life are concerning. You can trust in God. Let the unbeliever worry about those things, not the child of God. He has a Father in heaven who will provide for him and who will take care of him. But rather, what are we to do? Verse 33, seek first the kingdom of God and his what? Righteousness. And then all these things, what things? What do we eat? What do we wear? What do we drink? All of these things will be added unto you. You don't have to worry about those things. God will take care of them. I think of Mary and Martha when Jesus had come to their house to visit and have a meal. Remember, Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus hearing his words, and Martha was doing what? Busy serving. Not wrong. But her heart wasn't really focused on the Lord. She was cumbered about and worrisome. And she's in the kitchen and she saw her sister out there sitting at Jesus' feet. She's probably slamming cupboards and banging pans. And when she'd come into the room, she'd give her the evil eye, like, "Why don't you get up and help me?" And Jesus said, "Martha, Martha." Whenever he says your name twice, you're in trouble. He said, "You are careful. You're worried and cumbersome and you're stressed out over many things, Mary's chosen the better part, to sit at my feet and to hear my words. I really encourage you this year, as I have so many years in the past, encourage God's people, seek first the kingdom of God this year. And seek his righteousness. God will take care of your job. God will take care of your marriage. God will take care of your children. God will take care of your health. God will take care of the future. I mean, tomorrow's not here. Why do you worry about that? Seek first the kingdom of God. And when you do that, seek his righteousness, then all these other things, what things? All the provisions you need for your body. All the provisions you need materially. God will provide them. God will take care of them in his providence through his promises. God will provide. Make God's kingdom and his righteousness the priorities of your lives. Now, the promises in the Sermon on the Mount are for believers. So my question to you this morning is God your Father in heaven? You say, well, what do I need to do to make him my Father in heaven? You need to recognize that you're a sinner, separated from God. You need to turn from your sin, and you need to ask God to forgive you and ask Jesus to come into your heart and forgive your sins and surrender your life to him. Jesus died on the cross for you. He was buried. He rose again. He lives. And as you trust him and you put your faith in him, you become a child of God. That's why when you're born again, you're born spiritually into God's family. And the life of God is in your soul. You have eternal life. And God becomes your Father. And he takes care of you and he guides you. You don't have to worry about the future. You don't have to worry about the economy. I love what John R.W. Stott says about this. He says, to become preoccupied with material things in such a way that they engross our attention, absorb our energy, and burden us with anxiety is incompatible both with Christian faith and common sense. It is distrustful of our Heavenly Father and is frankly stupid. This is what the pagans do. But it is utterly unsuitable and unworthy ambition for the child of God. Now, I know that there are those that suffer with depression and discouragement and your doubts and fears. And I want you to know that your Father in heaven knows and understands. No one's perfect. Some of the greatest saints of God have walked to the valley and been discouraged. But we need to understand that we do have a Father in heaven that is taking care of us. We do have the promises of God's word that we can trust in and rest upon. When everything gets dark around me and I'm walking in the darkness, someone said, never doubt in the dark what God has spoken in the light. I love that. Hang on to his word. And remember that God's kingdom is to come first. When Jesus taught us to pray back in chapter 6, verse 10, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That is not only the priority of our prayers, but that should be the priority of our lives. God, your kingdom come first. So life is more than food and clothes. You are of more value than birds and flowers. You can't change the future. Why worry about it? Worry is pagan and is dishonoring to God, your Father in heaven. Take these verses this year and meditate on them and understand them. Now, there are three key words in closing I want to point out. Go back to verse 26. The key word there is Father. Then in verse 30, the key word is faith. And then in verse 33, the key word is first. Father, faith, and first. And this is how it works. We rest in the character of God, who is our Father in heaven. Then secondly, we trust in the word of God. Our faith is in God's word, and we rest in the promises of his word. And then thirdly, we seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness. So we rest in the character of God, we trust in the word of God, and we seek the kingdom of God. Amen? What a commitment to the new year. I am going to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And if I seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, God will take care of all the rest. When your soul is in distress, think upon his faithfulness. Has God ever forsaken you? Has God ever let you down? Has God not ever come through for you? The answer is no. God's always faithful. God always takes care of us. And even this coming year, if you have to walk through the valley of shadow of death, as David said in Psalm 23, I will not be afraid, for the Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need. He gives me rest. He makes me lie down in pastures of green. He leads me beside still waters. He anoints my head with oil. My cup runs over. Goodness and mercy follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord for how long? Forever. All this, and heaven too. Don't be afraid. Fear not. You have a Father in heaven. You have the promises of God. Make God's kingdom and his righteousness the priority of your life this coming year. Let's pray.